Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, Gary Annapier. He is currently in Mallorca. He is a registered counselor from the UK, but you are based in Mallorca now, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. Privileged to be here.
Yeah, well, you know what? The reason I've got you here is that you are arranging this really cool charity event on the island this weekend, isn't it?
Yes, this Saturday. Yes.
And it is going to be a charity football, or in my terms, soccer.
No soccer.
yeah. A football match. And it's going to be in support of men's well-being. Now, that's a topic that is so very important in today's day and age. And I we've had shows on YIR prior talking about men's well-being and men's health and, you know, dealing with depression. Let me ask you, why is it so hard for men to express emotion or to say that they are feeling a certain way?
Oh, huge question, a great question. I would say, both as a man and working with men over the years, that it goes down to the script we receive from as young as being an infant, whereby we either see it from our dad or uncle, our first male role models, whereby men don't speak or we don't express emotions. So I think from a very early age, we're seeing, okay, this is what men do. We can do battle, et cetera, but in terms of sharing your feelings, girls can do that and that's okay, but men don't. And even, you know, as a child, you can say to them, the older ones, boys don't cry. Shut up, don't speak, you know, and you sort of, okay, that's what we don't do. Boys do not cry, boys do not show feelings. And that, you know, people don't know about it because that's a script they receive, but it's so mentally damaging to that person to tell someone that, a young person, you're not permitted to express your emotion, it's not good. Then subconsciously we carry that into our teenage and adulthood, and that's, we then see other men who don't speak. How are you doing? I'm fine. And then next minute you realise they're going through a divorce or lost their work. And that's, yeah, we just see, okay, we don't speak.
Well, and we have seen a massive increase, you know, in yachting, but as well in the general population of younger and younger men committing suicide. Is that a result of their inability to, you know, express the fact that they're depressed or express the fact that they're having health issues or just express any emotion?
I definitely believe that's a major contribution factor. And the need is there, but it's that having that safe space. And I think for a lot of us men, we don't believe there's a safe space, even with their best friend, because they haven't done it, we're not going to do it. So someone taking that first step. But when we don't feel safe, have a safe space where we can share how we're feeling, the vulnerabilities, the insecurities or general worries, then we're human beings. Naturally, it's going to leak out. And often we then, for the worst part is, you know, get to that point where we can't feel we're going anymore and we do take our lives. And unfortunately, we, as you're aware, it's becoming more prominent. And unless there's a buck to this trend, it will only increase.
Are there support groups around the world? Are there places that men can go to express to other men that are just sort of designated for men?
There's definitely, it's not all negative. There's definitely support groups. I know there's lots of support groups in the UK where, even during the pandemic, and a guy that few of them met in the pub and it's, they've grown, really has. Yet to take it the you know, in terms of the size of the issue we're dealing with, we need more. Unfortunately, I always say that this is something whereby the demand outstrips the supply. And particularly the island of Mallorca, been there 6 years now, and it was always on my heart to reach out with men, because people may see this as old-fashioned view. I believe that if you sort the man out, the rest will fall into place in terms of marriage, children, identity. But I think because us men today, and for a very long time, we've got an identity crisis. We don't know what it's like to be a son. We don't know what it's like to have a dad to show us the way. Therefore, we don't become the best husbands. We don't become the best dad to ourselves. We don't become the best. And it just goes on. And then we look at the environment we're in, And you think being a man means going out, getting drunk, flexing your muscles, and that's okay. So for me, particularly in New York, I'm not saying that's all men, but particularly the guys that I know and from football and some of the yachting crew, it is that macho bravado. But yet underneath, you know that there's pain that they're hiding, there's pain that they're carrying, but they don't know where to carry this pain.
Do you think the problem has gotten worse over the past few decades? Because prior to that, families stayed together. There was, you know, I guess, the traditional roles of mother and father. They tended to stay together because it was frowned upon in society for anybody to leave, you know, a relationship, a marriage, etc. Do you think that has affected with single, so many families becoming single parent families? Has that affected men as well?
I would say yes, any breakdown of any family environment structure is going to affect the people involved. And I would say the benefits of, 30, 40 years ago was that there appeared to be a clear defined role in terms of the man. You go out, you provide for the family, and the wife, you kept the home. However, whilst it provided clear identity in terms of roles the male and female were given, I do believe for a lot of people there was a bondage where they weren't free. Where the woman was a free in her role, and the man, even though he was going out and doing what a man was supposed to do, there were other things he would do. He lost out not being with the children or not having a relationship with his dad. So it really is, whilst the family structure has broken down, I still don't believe that even back then, 30, 40 years ago, it dealt with the issues. Because in counselling, I work with men as old as 50, 60, 70, and they will tell me about the issues they had with their dad, and in terms of not having that relationship, not having that bond that they were desperate for.
That's interesting because, you know, time is sort of, I think, opening up so many different questions and the ability to speak about these things and try to figure them out and try to change the trajectory of the future. And it's so very, very important because we are seeing, you know, especially over the pandemic, as you were mentioning, you know, the amounts of domestic violence had increased. Mm-hmm. The amount of suicides had increased, and everybody talks about the women, you know, and I am all for equality. Everyone knows that I am, you know, all for equality, but in a situation like that, nobody talked about the men and how it was affecting them.
Yes. And you're absolutely right. Because over the last 2 years, I've seen a surge in people reaching out for counseling and did a talk the other day about shotgun counselling, and really whereby the woman would put a gun to the head of the husband or the partner and say, unless this is sorted out, we're finished. So then the guy would then reach out for counselling because there's an ultimatum.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? You don't need to wait until then. Surely you knew the signs then, but it was like, I don't need someone else to speak to. I don't need someone else to talk about my problems. But with the men, us men, I would say, it's that pressure we had to perform. And because there's such an emphasis on performance, 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 it almost takes over who you are as a person. So once again, you can't then be seen as a failure. And the number of men who lost, you know, work, relationships, et cetera, due to pandemic, and then once more, not knowing where to turn. And it was almost like, oh, they're okay, because on the surface, they are okay. But deep down, it's the drugs, it's the alcohol, it's the affairs, it's any way form of escape to release that pressure, to release, to just like, and then start again. But it's that pressure, as a man, to perform rather than to be.
Are men more likely to self-medicate than women?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? Prevalently, more often, is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it sex? Or is it just a combination of all of it?
I would say the easiest reach out is alcohol, and especially for the islands whereby, you know, it's just there, it's easy accessible. Drugs is on the increase because it's not as expensive as it used to be. But for men, I would say whatever provides that immediate relief from the pain. And that's why alcohol, I would still say, is the most prominent, because it just takes away that immediately. I would say then third after alcohol and drugs would be affairs, whereby the affair is not really for sex, but the affair sometimes at the moment is someone to speak to, someone where they can kind of be themselves. And only then when it becomes a relationship, then they find then, okay, I'm in that cycle again where I do need to perform. And so they go and look for another release. But it's I often say, don't get me wrong, there's no condoning an affair, but men very rarely have an affair for sex. It is about that I can escape from that world I'm living in, that home, the pressure, and this person is not going to look at me differently or judge me. But the paradox within it, Rhea, is that whilst we speak about, you know, men encourage them to share, why don't men speak? But then you also got the flip side that when men do share and say they do open up, sometimes they're met with, okay, so I can't trust you. If you're breaking down, what's the word for family? So then it then makes them feel less of a man. They're then angry at themselves for sharing. And then it's just blocked. I'm not sharing again because it's met with almost, not disapproval, but almost, okay, my expectations now have changed you because you're the man. So whilst we're promoting something, equally, it's how's that met when it happens in everyday life, in everyday scenarios.
I guess it would be more of a disappointment.
Yeah, as opposed yeah, to that's probably the right word, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not an easy road to toe, that's for sure. And so do you counsel mainly men or is it everyone?
Yeah, I've started off mainly counselling men, particularly men with anger, because that's something that spoke to my heart, because that's an issue I struggled with for a very long time in my life. And then through that, it kind of defaulted into couple counselling because people are angry on their own and then the wife will come in. So the main speciality I work with, men in anger, couples, relationships, and that also includes regards to men, young teenagers. And as you said earlier before the show, regards to young men today, that one, they don't know really what does it mean to be a man. Also, when do I become a man? When is that defining moment? So in some cultures, such as Africa, there are ceremonies whereby you are now Jewish culture, you are now identified as a man. But over here, it's often the first time you sleep with a girl or sleep with five women, or you know, you shave, you don't know, when do I become a man? And if I also think there's a big concern regards to men and relationships, whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, it's that education process, and particularly with the guys that I counsel, it's really going away from any form of solid relationship. It's about, no, I don't have a girlfriend. That's frowned upon. I have girls, but I don't have a girlfriend. It's like, you know, that's not part of the teachers going forward, where before, like 30, 40 years ago, again, there would be that courting, there would be that dating, there would be very old fashioned, but it's a traditional way. You knew that this is the way you go as a man if you want to settle down. But now it's, and so therefore, the flip side is, how does that make women feel? If women know you're just somebody there, but you're never going to be my girlfriend, out of that status. And that's why I go back to saying, if you do sort the men out, the rest normally falls back into place.
Well, and you know, I notice even myself, just as a woman that has dated, there are certain sort of cultural or societies that are much more macho, I think, than other, you know, because I know being in Canada, even certain areas of Canada were much more macho than, so, you know, for example, in the city, it was a little bit more, you know, gentrified. Growing up in a logging community, well, you can imagine what that was like.
Yeah.
And then you come to Europe and it seems like, you know, it's the same sort of thing. There's a lot of very masculine, manly men that really want to sort of control in Spain and Italy and Portugal. Is it a cultural and societal thing?
Well, I'll break it down to Rhea. It's the, for us men, it's that need for approval. And often, if we don't get that approval within our home, ultimately from our dad, we will seek that approval elsewhere. And then you've got to be that macho even more and carry it out and perform. Because when I speak with guys of that, displaying those behavioural characteristics, and I question about the relationship with their dad, there's a void there, there's a gap. And I would wholeheartedly state that us men need that approval from our dad to say, well done, you're okay, you've got my approval. And if we don't get that, we will seek it elsewhere, but we need that approval. Even with my daughters, they will get a well done from their mum, but their affirmation, they're waiting for me. What does dad think? They need my stamp of approval.
Well, do you have, I can imagine that you probably have a lot of reading material or, you know, any sort of information that we can provide underneath this interview if a man is looking to reach out for some help.
Yeah, there's I could definitely save some information after, but in terms of what really comes to me was this book, and don't be scared by the title, is called Fathered by God by, what's his name? It will come to me. And it's such a great book because I remember somebody recommended it to me years ago, and it talks about a son going fishing with his dad, and it tells you through the different stages, and the stages are son being a boy, boyhood first, then a cowboy when they're experimenting, then a warrior, then a lover, and then becoming a king. And it's saying unless a boy goes through these different stages sequentially, there's going to be a gap. There's going to be a breakdown. And it's so just saying that each boy, man, is reaching out for this. And it deals with men in regards to being raised by women, men with anger, men with frustration. And basically what they're saying, every man, son's looking for is, Dad, show me. There's a Facebook group we have called Dad, How Do I? And that's all about guys who don't know, who haven't got a dad around. Dad, how do I shave? Dad, how I do this? Dad, how I do a tie? Those things we take for granted. And when you don't have that guide there, not only practically does it impact us, but ultimately, Rhea, it says, I'm not important. I'm not good enough. Because if my dad's not there to show me, unless it's been death or other reasons, then I can't trust the world. So I would say, in addition to that, Man in the Mirror, I mentioned earlier, .life is a great website where they really tackle hard issues. Even men, which often doesn't get publicized, men who have fight for custody, who want to be able to see their children, because we often get it's the men that don't want to be around, but there's enough stories out there where men have broken down because the women will not allow them to see the children or because they're using them as leverage because of their pain they're fighting to get. And I've seen grown men just absolutely in tears, pain and hurting because they want to be there for their children, their great dads, and the woman, and this is not against the women, but just the circumstances, are saying no. And it's just breaking them apart. But that's not seen out there. And also through the court system, particularly in the UK, the court system doesn't really, don't support men enough, where the automatic thing is, okay, woman, all we want from you is your money. And the guy is like, I want to give more, but yet men are getting bad press about not being there. So it's a myriad of issues. But the good thing is, Rhea, is that things are going on. Things, work is being done. And I do believe that as long as we keep talking, as you said, as long as the issues getting out there, and as long as we start creating safe spaces like you've got here, then I do believe positive changes are being made.
Well, if you could, after this interview,
John Eldridge is his name, and I'll send you the title, John Eldridge, Fathered by God. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, send me a list and any links that you think would help any man out there listening to this interview. Let's get back to this event on Saturday. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We have the Street Angels, who are shore-based. We have Yachties, of course, but that's kind of self-explanatory. And we're going to see who is better on the field, the Yachties or the Street Angels. I don't know who I'm cheering for. I kind of have my feet in both worlds, so I guess I have to be one of those neutral people, I suppose. And all the proceeds are going to charity. What charities are they going to?
Yeah, so they're going to Yachty Gives Back, Cancer Support Group, and Street Angels.
Nice. And what do, I mean, for those of you that don't know, Yachting Gives Back is an amazing charity that has been set up by a bunch of yachties within the Balearic Islands, mainly Mallorca. And they help the homeless. They help with food. They help with pretty much anything, especially in today's day and age where so many people are suffering. They go above and beyond, and the yachting community is coming together to aid in that. And then, of course, Cancer Support Mallorca, that speaks for itself. Street Angels, what are they?
Hey, so name on the team, we're angels on the street. And we work in Magaluf during the summer between the months of end of May to September and October during the normal season. And essentially, we're there to help people who are lost in inverted commas. So that could be somebody who can't find their way back to the hotel because they've had too much alcohol. On a more serious level, it could be someone who's been sexually assaulted or been abroad. So we're there to clean up any way we can. So we work between the hours of 4 in the morning, and we meet at 3, start at 4, and we finish around 6:30. There's normally anything from 6 of us to 18, 20 on the night out. We do have people from over the UK and other parts of Europe, including Germany, who did come out specifically to help and support with Street Angels. And that would also include universities who know about us, and they'll send a whole load of people out and get involved. And people often ask why, because it's a charity, we do this for free. And we say, because you matter. And you know, somebody, whoever we're looking after, whether it's a male, a guy, a woman, an old man, another woman, you're important. You're somebody's daughter, you're somebody's son. And I often think, what happens when we're not around? I wish I had this man, because people are left in vulnerable situations, and different to when I was growing up here, where if you went out in a group or even a couple of people, you stayed together throughout the night. Yeah. Whereas it doesn't happen now. They can go out in groups of 10, 15, stag do's, hen do's, and then you meet someone and say, well, your friends are now, I lost them 2 hours ago. So if you imagine that, and we like to think everybody is good, but that's not the case. And people are there vulnerable to be taken advantage of. And yeah, so that's what we do. That's Street Angels.
Nice. Well, definitely a very worthy cause for sure. We'll also include that information if you're interested in, you know, participating. Do you have enough participants now?
We always welcome more. So please, yeah, I'll send you the website details. And we're starting a new season, mentioned in end of May, June. So fresh blood is always welcome. And it is a Christian faith base, but you don't need to be a Christian to join. All we want is people who's got a heart to help other people.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to provide every bit of information. We'll provide the information on the cancer support group, Majorca. We'll provide information on Yachting Gives Back, of course, the Street Angels, and this event happening this coming Saturday, the football game, soccer game. what time is it happening?
So the game itself kicks off at 12 p.m. And afterwards, we've got a barbecue. So the game will finish around 2 o'clock. We've got a barbecue afterwards. There's a raffle, prize draw. There's activities for the kids. So, yeah, it's a real fun day. Everybody's, we've had the support we've had from other organisations, local businesses have supported us as well by sponsoring the event. So the whole purpose of it, as you mentioned earlier, is to promote mental well-being amongst men. And really, it's not about one organisation doing it. It's about all of us coming together as a community and creating once more of that safe space.
Nice. And where is this taking place?
So it's taking place in Saint-Ferrer. It's at the Saint-Ferrer Football Stadium.
Okay, yeah, perfect. Yeah. Well, Gary, I have to say thank you ever so much for your time. It's very much appreciated.
It's been a real pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for the opportunity once more.
Well, we'll have to keep in touch. And who knows, maybe I'll manage to get out there and watch a bit of the soccer game.
Lodge don't call it soccer.
Probably end up at the entire wrong place because people say, what are you doing with soccer? What is that? Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Please do check out all the information below this interview. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.